This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I welcome you to what will hopefully be a very encouraging edition of Equip. We all know that seasons of suffering are part of life. Sometimes that comes through an unexpected tragedy or an incident that turns our life seemingly upside down. Sometimes it comes through the reality of chronic pain or sickness that seems to have not only a dire prognosis, but a daily impact on our daily life, the inability to be as strong as we once were, or maybe having to live in the aftermath of significant loss, the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or the death of a dream. However suffering touches our lives, one thing is true is that we all universally are impacted by it. The one thing that we all have in common is that we share in the sufferings of this world. But I want to ask a different question today. The question I want to ask is not if suffering is going to come, because I think we all know the answer to that question. The question I want us to ponder is, how do we survive suffering in a way that honors God? How do we maintain joy and hopefulness in Jesus? Not the fleeting sense of happiness that is all too shallow in this world, but a deep abiding joy and the peace that comes from knowing him. Today, we're going to talk about how to survive seasons of suffering. And as always, I'm going to offer to you a resource that I think is deeply impactful. And I want to have a guest who today will share their heart about how they have survived their own journey of suffering. All of that, though, is to serve you, to really open up an opportunity for us to encourage your hearts and to maybe even be your prayer partner today. I love that privilege to be your prayer partner today. So I want to offer this number. If you're surviving a season of suffering right now, you're enduring the aftermath of pain or tragedy, I want you to call in today. The phone number is 877-LIVE-675. It's 877-548-3675. It's not often that you get a chance to interview one of your heroes of the faith, but such is my privilege today as I get a chance to talk to Johnny Erickson Tada. For many of you, you know Johnny's story and testimony. It was more than 50 years ago that Johnny suffered a terrible accident that broke her neck and left her paralyzed. She has lived the life of a quadriplegic in a wheelchair since she was 17 years old. But in 1979, God used her to found the ministry Johnny and Friends. It's a ministry committed to showing the care of the gospel to people, helping to cast a powerful gospel vision for how you can live with disability. She's an author of more than 45 books, including her latest that I have in my hand, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. Johnny joins me now. Johnny, how are you?
Oh, it's good to be with you, Chris. And as your listeners can probably tell, I've had some serious lung issues, double pneumonia. And so my lungs are a little weak, but oh, my heart is so happy. And I'm glad that we're going to be talking about how to stay content in Christ in the middle of deep suffering. Thank you for making that the topic of the hour.
Well, thank you for joining me. And in spite of the physical challenges, just to offer the encouragement that God has used you to offer to so many over the years. And so I shared with Johnny before we came on, don't worry about coughing, or don't worry about any challenges you might experience. We are just so privileged that you're with us today. Let's talk about this book, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. For many people, that title will sound familiar to a book that was written by a monk named Brother Lawrence. Can you tell us a little bit about Brother Lawrence and how he's inspired you over the years?
Well, back in high school, when I first became a Christian, everybody was reading Brother Lawrence's book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence was a monk in the 1600s, and when he came to Christ and arrived at a monastery, they welcomed him in, but gave him menial tasks, such as scrubbing the floors in the monastery and the pots and the pans in the kitchen and scrubbing the latrine. And so this man, Brother Lawrence, a Carmelite monk, he learned how to trust in God during the most ordinary activities that might have seemed difficult to do for most people. And he wrote a book about his communion with God while practicing the ordinariness of life. And again, he titled it The Practice of the Presence of God. Now, Chris, when I read this book in high school, it deeply impacted me. Mm. But after I had my diving accident, that book landed on a shelf, and didn't think much about it until COVID back in 2020. And that's when all of us were sequestered and reading sure. old books and rereading things on our shelves. And so I pulled it off my shelf and read it again. And I thought, oh my goodness, I do this, except I practice the presence of Jesus. And so during COVID, I collected some of my insights, thoughts, lessons that I had learned through the many years of being in this wheelchair, and wrote a journal of my dailiness of living on the grace of the Lord Jesus, moment by moment, in this wheelchair. Maybe I wasn't scrubbing pots and pans like Brother Lawrence, but I was emptying leg bags and charging wheelchair batteries and battling pneumonia, and yet all the while leaning hard on Christ. So I put this journal into a book form, and you're holding it in your hands, Chris, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, because he makes the difference in my quadriplegic life and my life of deep pain. He makes the difference when I can't get a good breath, and I love leaning hard on him.
Well, you know, Johnny, as I listen to you, I think there are many who will relate to what it means to live with chronic pain, or what for some is the daily life, like yourself, of living in a wheelchair, or maybe those who will relate to what it is to appreciate and value their next breath because of some respiratory issue. But this book also, I think, speaks to the heart of those who are just living in a season that is marked by menial tasks. You talk about Brother Lawrence and all that he had to do. I will just tell you, as a parent of five kids, that season of parenting young children, changing diapers, the endless chores around the house, just keeping things clean. And I think about my wife so often, and there are so many times where the job that she does, and this is Mother's Day week, and we're thinking about so many moms, comes in a thankless way. How does this book speak to those who feel that they have been given an assignment from God? Because Brother Lawrence saw his assignment directly from the Lord. How does it speak to them who feel like they have just been given a menial season to do so much that is not appreciated or thanked?
Well, I think when we sense that our jobs are ordinary, the temptation is to live an ordinary Christian life, a mediocre Christian life, The temptation is to think there's nothing supernatural. There's nothing supernatural about washing dishes. There's nothing supernatural about folding laundry. But oh my goodness, there sure is. Because the attitude with which we approach these tasks, no matter how ordinary or everyday they seem, our attitude is what God is looking for. A lively spirit open to communing with Christ, even at the kitchen sink, even while running errands, even while pushing the shopping cart down the grocery aisle. So this book will help friends, mothers, women especially, or even guys working at their desks, at the office, college students studying. This book is going to help them practice the presence of Jesus Christ in that very, very ordinary moment to keep our lives from becoming mediocre, because we should be living courageous, valiant lives full of hope and joy and anticipation of meeting our Savior in heaven. And so I'm glad we're going to be talking about during this hour.
Let's go to Cleveland, Tennessee. Christine is listening. Christine, thank you so much for listening, for calling Equip. How can we pray for you today?
Well, can you hear me, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. I have Parkinson's. They can't get under control. And I have a tumor on my pancreas that they don't know whether it's cancerous or not. And we won't know till the middle of the month. And that's my prayer request. And then I want to ask Johnny how she makes it through every day, the trooper that she is, because I can't even seem to make it through 5 minutes of the day.
Oh my goodness. Well, my heart certainly goes out to you with that diagnosis of Parkinson's. That's not easy. And perhaps you're like me. Sometimes we think that God is asking too much of us. But let me suggest that we think about what he's already given us. Because he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also graciously give us all things? Things like grace to help us moment by moment, grace to keep our attitudes bright. I mean, when you think about what Jesus went through, how they hung him up like slaughtered meat on a hook, left to drain its blood. That would be enough if he did that to keep us out of hell. But amazing grace, he did it to give us a home of eternal joy. And that means that Christ is more than trustworthy, even in the painful moments. So I would encourage you to hold on to the Lord Jesus moment by moment and trust him that he will give you the grace to get through. My goodness, he's giving me grace to get through. And I'm looking forward to the finish line, that wonderful moment when I'll burst the tape and no more sorrow, no more Parkinson's, no more spinal cord injury, quadriplegia, no more chronic pain. And what a day that will be. Let's live for that day. And let's trust Christ that he's got an inheritance that's far, far greater than any inconvenience of suffering that we might endure on earth. I hope you'll join me in that.
One of the many powerful quotes that come from this book that Johnny says is that prayer doesn't always make the pain go away, but it empowers us with the power and the presence of Jesus. Let's pray together for Christine. Father, I pray for Christine that she would know your power, your presence, that she would remember your promises, that Jesus, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. That you, Father, you promise you would rescue the crushed in spirit and that you'd be near to the brokenhearted. So be near to her, help her to know your joy, and help her to remember that you are a soon coming king, and that when you do come back, you will make all things new. That includes our bodies, that includes this world, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to make sure Christine gets a copy of The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. Each one of you, I want to encourage you to order your copy. Go to our website, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org, so that you can order your copy of The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. We're going to take more of your calls. How do you survive a season of suffering? How do you maintain hope and gospel-rich joy? Johnny's going to tell us about that and so much more on the other side of this break. The phone number to join the conversation, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Have you taken the first step of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but now you're wondering what comes next? Or are you a seasoned saint, eager to be ready for Christ's return? Preparing to Meet Jesus is a devotional by Ann Graham Lotz and her daughter, Rachel Ruth. And it's perfect for growing in Christ no matter how long you've known Him or where you are in your spiritual journey. Request your copy when you support Equip with a donation of any amount. Simply dial 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Many of you know that after our son passed away, for my wife and I, one of the verses of scripture that spoke loudly to our hearts in that time of great grief and suffering was the promise of God in Psalm 34, 18. That God was near to the brokenhearted and that He saves the crushed in spirit. Every one of us needs to know the promise of God, to lean on the promises of God. And today, Johnny Erickson-Todd is my guest. Her book, I think, is a great reminder of the promises of God, in particular, His promise of nearness. It's entitled The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, Daily Meditations on the Nearness of Our Savior. Johnny, how have the promises of God sustained you in moments of suffering?
Oh, good question, Chris, because I live on the promises of God. Every promise is a guarantee that we can bring before the throne of God. We bring it to Him, and as we do, He exchanges that promise with grace, strength, perspective, a brighter attitude, hope, help. May I tell you a quick story about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I had gone to a mountain cabin with a friend just to get a little bit of respite and do writing. Well, at nighttime, she was in a separate room, and there was a monitor between our rooms. And I told her, make certain your volume is up so you can hear me, because I have to be turned often in bed because of pain. And anyway, at 1 o'clock in the morning, there we are in the cabin, and I start, calling for her through the monitor, and there's no answer. And then I call louder and still no answer. Then I'm screaming and still no answer. And I am in excruciating pain at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I need to be turned, yet she can't hear me. And I'm thinking, God, I can't survive until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I need help now. And so what I did, Chris, is I started screaming in this monitor, still no answer. And as anxiety began to rise in my heart, what I did was I started screaming all the promises of God. And I did just that. Oh, God, You are my ever-present help in trouble. Oh, God, Your grace is sufficient. I mean, I'm screaming these promises. Wow. After about a half an hour of yelling every promise of God, and mind you, doing that kept my heart peaceful. It kept me from being anxious. But finally, I heard a click on the monitor, and my friend came running in. Now, you would have think I would have barked at her. Where were you? Why didn't you hear me? But my heart was calm because of those promises, even if I did scream them. And she apologized because she had forgot to check the volume level of the monitor over in her room. Wow. But I thought, Jesus, thank You that I know Your promises. Thank You that for a half an hour, I could quote Your promises. Thank You that these promises kept me from concentrating on my pain and feeling panicky or anxious. Thank you for the fact that you kept me from being fearful. And I did not get angry at my friend. So what I did is something practical that each of us can do every day. Wake up in the morning and pick a good promise from the Word of God. It might just be a promise like, God will be our help in our ever-present trouble. And that can see you through. And that experience by the cabin up there on the lake truly proved to me that God is good on every single promise he makes.
You know, when I think about that story, I think to myself, what a practical application of the promises of God. But when I think about your book, it is a reminder to me that, Johnny, we can't make withdrawals on what has not first been deposited in our lives. In order to pull on those promises, we have to meditate on the Word of God. Yesterday, I had a guest on who spoke to us about the state of Bible engagement in America right now. And those who engage the Bible on a regular basis, statistics show, have less anxiety, do better at managing anger, have more hopefulness. And you just tied those two things together in such a practical example and way. But I just want to encourage our listeners that if Johnny's book does anything, it draws us to the daily blessing of the Word of God, communing with Jesus in his word, because we don't know when those moments are going to come. You didn't know going to that cabin that day,
right?
This is how the night was going to turn out. But praise God for all of those deposits, the days, before, leading up to that moment, that allowed you to be able to call upon the promises of God.
Yes,
I want to go to the phone line. Let's go to the phone lines. Jessica is listening in Sharon, Pennsylvania. Jessica, thank you so much for listening. How can we pray for you today?
Hi. Yes. So my question and prayer is about discernment. I struggle with both chronic physical pain and also mental illness. And so I was hoping for wisdom about how to discern between when the devil is trying to attack you and lie to you to believe something versus when God is calling you to be content in that situation.
Well, we know
that
God
sense?
Yes, it does, Jessica. We know that God calls us always to be content in every situation. Now, that doesn't mean you should not address your pain or your mental health issues or medical issues. Surely, you need to go to your doctor. You need to be assessed and a proper prescription treatment for your medical issues, disabling conditions. But even then, God calls us to be content in every situation that we're in. And I wake up in the morning, Jessica, and I tell God after 57 years of quadriplegia, I'll tell him, I'll say, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. I don't know that I have the strength. And the fact is, I don't have the strength. And so I pray, God, please help me. I can't do it. And Jessica, before 7:30 in the morning, I've got a smile sent straight from heaven. And I know that the Lord is going to see me through one day, one step, 1 hour at a time. So in terms of discernment, I would just lean on the promises of God. When we are told that God will sustain us in Isaiah 48, verse 4, that he made us and that he'll carry us and that he'll rescue us, this is what we depend on. We depend on the promises of God, the word of God, and we remain content knowing that he calls us always to do that, no matter what our disabling condition.
As we pray for Jessica. Jessica, I just want you to be blessed with this book, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, because I think that it will richly encourage your heart. So, Father, I do pray for Jessica that she would have, yes, the right practical support around her, doctors and medical team. We pray for that. But Lord, I pray most of all that she would know your presence, that she would meditate deeply on your promises, and you would give her wisdom on how to discern and help her to have, most of all, a great sense of confidence and joy that comes from you and you alone. These are gifts that only you give, Father. So we pray that you would bestow them upon our sister Jessica in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And once you stay on the line, Jessica, our producer is going to get you a copy of The Practice of the Presence of Jesus by Johnny Erickson Tada. These are daily meditations on the nearness of our Savior. Maybe as you think about this topic, you're asking a question. Well, I want a good life. Here's my question. What is the right definition of the good life? I'm going to ask Johnny that question on the other side of this break. These breaks give you an opportunity to get to know more about the resource and our guests. So go to our website, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Stick and stay. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Hey there, friends. Chris Brooks here. You know, you may have recently heard me promoting our next program or even asking you to become a monthly partner, folks that we call Equippers. But today I want to invite you to join something infinitely more important. Would you consider joining the family of God? You know, it may be possible that you've been listening to us talk about the Bible and the Christian life, but you've never really met Jesus personally. He longs to welcome you into his family and have a close relationship with you. You can surrender your life to him, accept his forgiveness, and start your journey with Jesus right now. I'd love to help you to take that first step. All you have to do is give me a call at 877-548-3675. That's 877-548-3675. 877-LIVE-675. I'd love to get a chance to pray with you today. The book today is The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. My guest, one of my absolute heroes of the faith, Johnny Erickson Tada. What an encouragement she is, and she has been to so many through Johnny and friends. A ministry started in 1979, but touches men and women across the globe, helping to cast a vision of a gospel-centered life for people living with disabilities. How God can, by his grace, empower them to live to the full. Johnny, before I went to break, I talked about this question that I think most Americans are asking themselves, and that is, what is the good life? And there's so many definitions that are often offered that are tied to physical strength or maybe even economic prowess or good looks or other natural and physical abilities. But when you think about God's word, when you think about what Scripture tells us the good life is, how do you define it?
Well, Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "No good thing will God withhold from those whose walk is blameless." And Chris, I used to think that meant, well, the good thing must be walking. Walking's good. Using your hands is good. You know, being able to do things that you would normally do is good. And so I was very frustrated for a long time because as blameless as I tried to make my walk with the Lord Jesus, no good thing physical like walking or using my hands was happening. But I have a special message that is for Christina and also for Jessica, who called in earlier. That good thing that God wants to do in our lives is always spiritual. So the good that God will not withhold are virtues like patience, patience in a trial, patience with Parkinson's, patience with being able to be content in whatsoever situation you're in, patience, perseverance, the quality to persevere and endure through a good trial, a hard trial. Good things might be the ability to quickly grab hold of grace, to keep your soul open, your heart responsive to the word of God. So patience, self-control, perseverance, endurance, courage, courage to face a difficult medical diagnosis and still trust God, courage to believe that the Lord will only lead you in a path of righteousness, never down a detour of darkness. I mean, these are all the good things that God wants to give. These are the good things spoken of in Psalm 84. No good thing will he withhold. He will not withhold patience. He will not withhold endurance, perseverance, self-control. He will not withhold courage, bravery, valiant way of looking at your circumstances. These are all the good things that God wants to ingrain in our lives. And that is what makes us more like Jesus. To trust him in the most difficult circumstances and yet grab hold of a transforming grace that gives us those fantastic virtues, which we will carry to heaven with us. And I'm looking forward to that day when the light and momentary affliction that I've been through will reward me with a crown of righteousness. Oh, what a day that's going to be.
Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a reminder. And we all need to be reminded because, Johnny, I admit I forget. It's easy for me to get blinded by the fallenness of this world, overwhelmed by all of the longings of my own heart and maybe even distracted by the many responsibilities and things that seem to be ever present. I need daily reminders of the gospel, and I need daily reminders of the fact that he's a soon coming king. You know, Brother Lawrence was not always strong. He had weak moments. He had mistakes. He knew what it was to fail and miss the mark. Johnny Erickson Tata isn't always strong. Chris Brooks isn't always strong. What did you learn from Brother Lawrence about how we should respond to our own weaknesses, to our own mistakes, to our own days where we miss the mark?
Well, we certainly do miss the mark. I miss the mark aplenty. But we have got a loving Father who sympathizes with every affliction. In Psalm 103, it says that he pities us in our weakness, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And, you know, I just love that I have a Savior who was tempted and tested and tried in every way like me. He probably was tempted to not be excited about God's will for his life. Oh my goodness, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he inasmuch pleaded with the Father, if you would but take this cup from me, he asked. But even then, at his greatest temptation, he trusted in the word of his Father. And you know, Chris, like you, afflictions have a way of cutting deep gashes in our hearts, and it hurts, that weakness, but it is in those gashes through which grace and joy can be poured into our life. And God stretches us and fills our soul with an abundance of Jesus when we quickly run to him, not only with our pain and sorrows, but with our doubts and our stumblings and our failures. It's a human way to live, but it's also a supernatural way to live.
Let's go to Chuck, who's listening in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Chuck, thank you so much for listening today. What's your comment, my friend?
Yeah, thank you, Chris, and thank you, Johnny. I have a question. You know, the scripture says we join in the sufferings of Christ, and we're to join in the sufferings of others, like, you know, people and communist prisons and your sufferings, Johnny. And I'm just wondering what that scripture means to you, Johnny.
Well, when we participate in the sufferings of Christ, he is inviting us into the inner sanctum of his heart. He really is. We bear a cross daily, which means we die to the sins that he died for on his cross. That's what it means to participate in his afflictions. We bear a similar cross. And we hold on to the same grace, the grace that sustained Christ going up that rocky, hard hill to Calvary. It's the same grace that can sustain us. And when we participate in the sufferings of others, let me just say this, suffering is best eased when we serve others who hurt. In fact, mostly our suffering is eased when we serve others who hurt far worse than we hurt, mainly people who do not know Christ. And so when we participate in the sufferings of others, we bear their burdens. We lift them up. We pray for them. We remember them. We do not forget their plight. We share their needs with others. We give practical assistance when it's possible. These are all ways that we join in the sufferings of others. And I participate in the suffering of Christ. But I tell you what, when I suffer hard, and I can only barely whimper to God, please help me, Jesus. I know that he is surrounding me with his everlasting arms. He is sustaining me, carrying me. He's rescuing me, delivering me with his help and his hope. And that brings me so much closer to him.
Yes.
So
yes.
As it says in 1 Peter 2, real quickly, it says, to this we were called because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. That's what it means to participate in his sufferings.
In many ways, Johnny, we shouldn't be surprised, should we, that the Christian life comes with suffering, because we have a suffering Savior. We, of all people, should embrace suffering as a part of the will of God for us, not as punishment or some type of vindictive or evil plot, but as a pathway to his presence, a pathway to the nearness of his heart. I do want to ask this, Johnny, and I think about this as I consider your book. Obviously, not everyone is living with chronic pain. Not everyone is confined to a wheelchair. Not everyone is living in the immediate aftermath of the death of a child or a spouse. How does this book speak to the person who says, I'm healthy, the person who says, God has blessed me on my job or financially, economically, my family's doing well? Does this book have a place in their life?
Lisa, quickly,
Okay, Johnny's going to get some help there, and we'll take a quick break. But I do want to encourage you all to get a copy of this book, and we will come back with Johnny on the other side of this break. The phone number, 877-LIVE-675. I want to encourage you, order your copy at equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org, equipradio.org. And while you're there, maybe the program has been a blessing to you. And if we have, I would love for you to consider supporting prayerfully and financially. Your gift of $25 or $50 or $100 or more helps us to fulfill our mission of equipping Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. So why don't you give us a call today, 888-644-4144, or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. What a joy it's been to share this hour with you and with Johnny. And with a few moments left, I want to just give Johnny an opportunity to maybe speak to an audience that would think that this book maybe isn't for them. Johnny, I was asking before the break, how does this book speak to those who say, well, I'm not living with chronic pain or in the aftermath of a major loss? God has blessed me physically with strength and maybe even financially, economically, on their job or their family's doing well. Does this book speak to them as well?
Oh, my goodness, it certainly does. Because sometimes when we are blessed with economic wealth, or there are no medical bills, or children are healthy, we are healthy, sometimes we can tend to become relaxed and not as lively in our relationship with Christ. Sometimes we can fall back into the comforts of this world, and before we know it, we are beguiled and deceived into thinking that the good life of health and wealth and, well, that's the life God's blessed me with. But no one should ever wake up in the morning not needing Jesus desperately. We all should need Jesus desperately. Even King David in the Psalms said, I am poor and needy. And if a king can say that before God, we should say that when we wake up in the morning, or else we're going to go out the front door on automatic cruise control and we'll pretty much say to the Lord, well, I know how to live the Christian life. I've got it from here. So I've got the lay of the land, God. If I need you, I'll check in with you. And that's no way to live the Christian life. So let's be grateful for a little bit of suffering in our lives, because it forces us, it makes us run to Jesus, where otherwise we might not run to Christ out of desperate need. So God allows suffering so that we are pushed into the arms of our Savior. And this book will help people who live a rather ordinary Christian life to get excited about their relationship with Jesus. So thank you, Chris. I'm so grateful that you see value in the words that I've written in this little book.
Well, there are so many words that you've written that's inspired my heart. And I also want to thank you for bringing to life for many the words of Brother Lawrence. What an extraordinary figure. What a awesome, I think, example for us of a, on the one hand, ordinary man who just through his perspective of seeing all things as from the hand of God gives right. us the perspective that allows us to really live an extraordinary life. I think the most appropriate question for us to end with is, why should someone trust in Jesus? Johnny, when you think about that question, whether somebody is weak or they consider themselves strong, whether somebody is poor or they consider themselves rich, whether somebody finds themselves in the mountaintop or in the valley, why should we all follow Jesus?
Well, this life is but a fleeting wisp of smoke, a fading vapor, and the parade of life that we see all around us is not going to go on forever. Soon and very soon, it will end. And we need to remember as Christians that everything we do down here on earth, every little bit of drastic trust and obedience in God is going to be rewarded in heaven. And I want our listeners to stretch their capacity for joy and worship and service in heaven. I want our listeners to enlarge their eternal estate, and trusting in Jesus Christ through our afflictions does just that. It enriches our eternal estate. And if there's someone listening who does not know Jesus, oh my goodness, don't let another day go by, because your sin, your pride, your stiff-necked stubbornness, you know, rebellion is separating you from the God who loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. So lay all the doubts at the foot of the cross. Lay all your pride and sin at the foot of the cross. Lay your anxieties about chronic pain or Parkinson's at the foot of the cross, and embrace Christ afresh. Embrace the gift of salvation and the gift of deliverance every day from your hardships. Lay it all at the cross and embrace salvation for your soul and deliverance for your heart as you push through the hard things of life and come to know Christ better and better, the one who rescues us out of our sin and from our suffering.
This book is a reminder that God is good, that Jesus is a friend to sinners. If you're in a wheelchair today, I want to remind you, God is good. If you yes. have been given a diagnosis that maybe is unwanted, uninvited, I want to remind you that God is good. If you find yes. yourself in a season of suffering, I want to remind you and us all that God is good. Wherever you find yourself today, God is good. But let me just say to the man or woman who is prosperous with this world's goods, that the things of this world cannot compare to the things of God. If you are overjoyed with the things of this world, I just want you to know the things of God, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his joy, his love, his presence far outweigh them all. So please get the greater riches by giving your heart to Jesus. You can do so by dialing this number, 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Johnny, before I let you run, I just want to pass on a note from a listener. Her name is Patricia. She lives in Hillside, Illinois. She says this, "I am 91 years old. I've been praying for Johnny since she was in her accident. I read one of her books, and she is a very special person to me. I just want her to know that I love her, and I will continue to pray for her." So that is from Patricia, 91 years young, in Hillside,
thank you, Patricia,
Illinois. Thank you, Johnny, for being with us, and thank you for the wonderful book, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. God bless you, Johnny.
God bless you, too, and all friends listening.
I want to encourage you to get your copy, friends. Go to our website, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. You can order your copy of The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. These are daily meditations on the nearness of our Savior. God is good, and he wants you to know his love, his grace, and yes, his nearness. I also want to encourage you, if the program is a blessing to you, can you stand with us today? Again, your gift today makes all the difference in the world. So maybe you can give a gift of generosity. Do the best you can, but dial this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.